I'd like now to welcome Tanya Houston. She's director of the Imedito Project. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the Imedito Project, we say the word, most of our listeners will never have heard of it, but you are actually doing healthcare work in Rwanda. You're a physical therapist here, and you also do work there. What's it all about?
Yes, the Imedito Project was founded in 2009 when I actually found myself in Rwanda with another project working with widows. One of our widows had this condition, elephantiasis, which I later learned was podoconiosis, a form of elephantiasis that comes from a high silica concentration in the volcanic soils of the Virunga, a volcanic mountain chain region of Rwanda.
Now, this is an interesting place because, as you talk about in your little documentary that's on your website, the soil there is incredibly fertile. You can just cast seeds and grow anything there.
Yes, you can.
And therefore, yeah, a lot of people can do subsistence farming, but they work barefoot in the fields.
They do. And this is the challenge that we have in this culture. Podoconiosis is an inflammation of the lymphatic system of the lower leg. It's caused from chronic exposure to this irritant soil from farming in Rwanda in the northern province. So over time, they develop swelling, which turns into a lymphedema problem and very poor skin conditions. So they have a lot of bacterial and fungal infections. They, as you saw in the photos I shared with you, their feet become very grotesque. They look like they have leprosy, but they do not. People are afraid of them. They become outcasts. So there's a whole line of problems associated with this condition. Because of the culture of Rwanda, they might have a pair of shoes, but they won't wear them in the fields because they're the one pair of shoes that they own. They like to wear them to church on Sunday. So you quite often will see people in the fields in bare feet with their shoes perfectly lined up on the side of the field.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
And so part of your mission there is to do education and basically, what, get people a pair of flip-flops? I mean.
Yes. One of our focuses is on prevention education. And it's a rather big focus. In fact, prevention is the best treatment for this condition. So we have an education team. They are Rwandans, and they go to primary schools, which is very important. We want to start with the young children. They go to community centers to teach about the importance of wearing shoes, churches, any social event that there's a large gathering of people. We are very interested in approaching radio shows.
Right.
So,
is there a radio network, a significant radio network there?
There is in Rwanda. And just as a side note, during the genocide in 1994, the radio was the way that they spread the genocide throughout the country.
Oh, my goodness. So how is it going? Are people starting to wear shoes? I mean, there's the economic issue of being able to afford them, but then also the cultural issue of wanting to wear them.
Yes. They do wear shoes. In fact, in Rwanda, it is against the law not to wear your shoes. However, there's no one that enforces that.
Yeah, the shoe police.
The shoe police. There are no shoe police. So the rural farmers, they are definitely the poorer population of Rwanda. And they consist of approximately, 80% of the population is that rural farmer and subsistence farming. So Rwanda, the population in Rwanda per square foot is the most population in the world. There are so many people in Rwanda, and all of them are farming. So when you go to Rwanda, you see these beautiful patchwork quilts of farmland. So this is a challenge for us because this is a cultural paradigm shift to wear their shoes in the fields.
I mean, it's also just to really demonstrate cause and effect.
Exactly, exactly. So the education, again, is one of the most important pieces of what we're doing in Rwanda. And with education, I think we can eradicate this condition in Rwanda.
We're talking to Tanya Houston about the Imedito Project. Now, when people do have this condition, and as people can go to your website, which we'll give at the end of the program, and take a look at what it actually looks like, and it's scary. And as you say, people become outcasts when they have these feet that look like, and legs that look almost like tree trunks. Is there a treatment once they have this condition and it's advanced to that point? And what happens when they have it at early stages?
Yes, very good question. We started with clinic management back in 2009. I took a therapist from Texas with me who also specializes in lymphedema treatment. And by the way, elephantiasis is the severest stage of lymphedema. So once we started these clinics, we would return about every 6 months. And in 2013, we, by chance, found a physical therapist in Rwanda who didn't have a job. So we gave him a job, and I trained him to treat this condition. So in 2013, early during that year, we became sustainable, which is a really, really big step for the project. So we currently employ 7 Rwandans that run our home-based clinic and a satellite clinic, as well as our prevention education team and our income generation businesses for people with the condition.
What are the income generation businesses?
We started with a milling house project, and the milling house is a place where they grind maize into corn flour. So that was our first income generating project. And so they are grinding maize into corn flour, and this is directly providing an income for people who are members of the association that we developed. Our next income generation project is really exciting to me. It's called Heart and Soul, S-O-L-E, body, and we are going to start producing soap and lotions with eucalyptus oil that we can get in Rwanda, because we use a lot of soap and lotion for treatment.
Right.
And we also would like to make a quality product that we can sell to bring money back into the project.
So you would export those products?
We would try to export those projects. And I want to give a little plug here for Los Poblanos out of Albuquerque, because they have been a really good supporter of our clinical project. They provide us with their lavender salve. And we use it like gold in Rwanda. So I'm very happy to say that they've been a great partner for us.
So when somebody has a kind of advanced case of this disease, to what extent can you get them back to normality? Because, I mean, for them, it's the difference between being able to have a life and being beggars on the street.
Right, exactly. And a lot of our people who come into our clinic are still begging on the street, which we're trying to change for them. So when we talk about clinic management, going back to your previous question, when someone comes to our clinic, they're provided with a personal basin for foot washing. Hygiene is a big part of our clinic management. Typically, their feet get so large that they can't wear normal shoes. So they're walking barefoot. They develop these skin conditions where bacteria and fungus grow. Their feet start to really smell bad. And so, again, not only do they look bad, they smell bad. And so we start with skin hygiene. We provide the basin. We actually use a Clorox solution to soak their feet in because it's antibacterial. We provide personal brushes to scrub with. We use foot files to take off some of the harder, crusty stuff. We provide soap to them at least once a month for home hygiene. And then for those cases that are a bit more severe, they go into our private treatment, which means that we do compression bandaging. And I showed you a picture earlier of Francoise, who has had horrible feet, could barely walk, was using a cane to walk with.
And she was in her early 20s at the time.
Yes, she was. We treated her for a year. She was in bandages for a year. We did a lot of hygiene. We do a lot of wound care as well because they develop wounds. And I'm happy to say today that you saw a photo of her now. Her feet look nothing like they did before. She can wear large tennis shoes, but tennis shoes, and she is running. So,
oh my goodness.
It's so exciting. It brings chills to me every time I tell
story. This is somebody who's basically going to have a life.
She has an amazing life now. She's part of our team. She is paid monthly to be part of our team. In the summer, we worked a lot with her to instruct a yoga program with the people who have this condition, because exercise is an important piece of lymphatic flow, to stimulate lymphatic flow. So we're still working with her, but she's not only providing education and testimonial, but also is helping us with our yoga practice with these patients. I have to tell you a story about her, because when she first joined our team, we were at a primary school, and we pass out photos of her feet, and the children are just amazed and quite...
Probably a little scared.
A little scared of what they're looking at. And they've seen people like that before, but they're afraid to approach them. So at the end of our education, we have Francoise talk to them about her life and how this project has changed her life. And I can tell you that those children, there's not a sound in the room. And then at the end, when she is done talking to them, this first time, and she does it every time now, she took her shoes off. And it just, the rest of us just started crying. It was so emotional for us and for her. And I can't tell that story without getting teary-eyed. But at any rate, she is why we do this. She now has a future. She's earning an income, and she has such a bright hope for her future as well.
It's also really extraordinary, compared to here, how much you can get done on so little funding.
Oh, my goodness,
I mean,
yes.
The basic kit is $5 or something, with the basin and the soap and the lotions and things like that, a pair of dollar shoes or $2 shoes, and those things make a huge difference.
It really does. The donations, so the way that we support our project is through private donations. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The cost to, we are treating over 275 people a month, and the cost of that is about $1,000 US.
Oh my goodness.
So that's pretty incredible. Most of the funding comes from my income at this point. However, we do have some private donors that give monthly contributions, and we would love to expand those monthly contributors, because then we know that the money is coming in. We're currently at about $365 of monthly contributors. The rest is made up by private donations or my income. But I will say that 100% of these donations go directly to the project. There is none of that income is for overhead or administration costs. Those costs are all donated. So yes, the donations go a very long way in changing the lives of these people in Rwanda.
We're talking to Tanya Houston of the Imedito Project. Now, what do you do here in Santa Fe?
I'm a physical therapist, and I have a certification in lymphatic management. So I am currently working at St. Vincent Sports Medicine, where I treat a population of cancer recovery patients and others who are dealing with lymphedema.
So basically, lymphedema is everywhere, but it doesn't develop into this really severe condition here because, I mean, you get treated much earlier.
Yes, that's correct. So you can develop lymphedema in many ways. And in developing countries, we see lymphedema caused by a parasite, which is about 130 million people in the world with that type of elephantiasis. However, the type I work with, the one that comes from the soil, is about 9 million people in the world. And the really awesome thing about treating this condition is that, first of all, it's 100% preventable by wearing shoes. And we can truly make a difference with this population. They require no medication. They require a basin, soap, brushes, some bandaging, and some hope for a brighter future.
Do you see, I mean, it hasn't been all that long, but it's been some years. Do you see a decline in the condition because of the work that you're doing?
We're starting to see a decline in the condition with family members. We know that there is a genetic predisposition to this condition. You're at a 5 times higher risk if your parent or grandparent has this condition. So we really focus our prevention education too with the families with this condition. And we help them to supply shoes for their children. But the focus of the project is actually to give a hand up to these people and not a handout. We want to create a way for them to work and for them to care for themselves, for their future and their children's future.
What's it like for you when you're there? You have a somewhat long history there. You must have made a lot of friends.
I have many friends. Yes, I do. It's such a celebration when I return, and it feels like my second home now. I've traveled to Rwanda probably 9 times in the last 5 or 6 years, and it is my second home. And they are so appreciative of what we're doing there. And the Ministry of Health in Rwanda is also very supportive of us, not financially at this point, but the hope is to expand our project into the rest of Rwanda as well as the Congo and Uganda.
And the problem is similar type of thing in those other countries?
It is. The Virunga volcanic mountain chain actually encompasses the Congo, Uganda, and Rwanda all in the northern province of those areas.
And so it's the same silica in the soil.
Same problem, yeah. Yes. Well, we know that no one is doing anything in the Congo or Uganda at this point.
Right. Tanya Houston is director of the Imedito Project. They are on the web at imeditoproject.com, and that's spelled I-M-I-D-I-D-O. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, and I will add that it can be .com or .org.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Both ways, and I will link to that at santafe.radiocafe.org. Anything else you want to let people know before we go?
Yes, I just want to say I've enjoyed my time in Santa Fe. This is a beautiful community, and we would love to have your support. And thank you so much, Mary Charlotte, for having me here today.
Great to have you.
Thanks.